This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Lonnie, between this and Knives Out, I reckon Chris Evans has just got to play bad guys from now on.
Is that right?
He does it enough so of him
being great. Well, he seems to really enjoy it.
His whole career being the perfect person, right? That idolized American values. And I'm just saying, when he uses those pretty boy looks for a bad cause, it's pretty fun.
What do you think of the people who've criticized this film and have wondered perhaps if the roles, the main two roles, had been reversed, it would have been better?
Ooh.
It could have been too similar, perhaps. Too.
No, yeah.
No, I'm okay with how it is.
Yeah, me too.
How about this?
Okay.
Just remove the main two guys. Just have Anna doing all the stuff.
I mean,
she'd been great.
Yes.
Hello there. This is I Only Like You and Movies, and sometimes Netflix, and sometimes that's the same thing, like today. I'm Lonnie. Her name's Sinead. How's it going, Sinead?
I'm hanging in there. We're doing a bulk record today, and I can just tell that this is the end. This will be the last one.
We have saved the best till last. We've come to a movie that somehow cost $200 million to make, Sinead.
It's all the car explosions, I reckon.
How they do that?
Car explosions.
Was it what about the explosions involved with the tram? They're pretty big, aren't they?
Probably that. Plane explosions. Lots of explosions.
Yeah. Look, the plane stuff wasn't great. Anyway, we'll get into it. The Gray Man.
Mm-hmm.
It's the latest film by the Russo brothers of Avengers fame. Written by the same two guys as well. They're writing partners.
Do we not pronounce it Russo?
Why do they say Russo, do they?
I thought it was the Russo brothers. There you go. But maybe that's just an American thing. Who knows? Right,
I believe you. A series of novels. They're kind of like thriller, action-packed novels.
Mm-hmm.
The film is action-packed. But Sinead, is it any good?
Okay. So, my guess is that you don't like this film. And my guess is that you think that I don't like this film because you think that I will think that it's not Bourne. Famously, some of my favorite movies ever made.
Okay.
Am I on the right track with all that?
I'm not sure in the who's thinking what, but please keep going.
I thought it was a bit of fun. I thought it was a bit of fun.
There's a lot of shit online, but I think that's people who were prepared to hate it.
Yeah, just haters, you know.
Just haters, you know, just haters. And I'm sure there are genuine criticisms to be made here, but I think it's sort of come in a period of the cycle where Netflix isn't popular and is being criticized for a whole bunch of reasons. It costs a lot of money. The action is fine. It's not mind blowing, and there's not a cult around the action as it is in some other films like Bourne or Mission Impossible of late.
Mm-hmm.
And also think that there's a bit of a hangover of Avengers and stuff. People online at least think they're too cool and don't like Avengers people. So I think that has all sort of combined for this film to be criticized by a lot of people. But you're right. I think it was fine. My thing is that it reminded me in parts of Mission Impossible and Bourne.
Yes.
And it doesn't quite match up. And so it's kind of like, don't remind me of something else you're not quite as good as. But overall, it was fine.
Agreed. What do you reckon? I do like that tweet that was like, no movie should ever cost more than like Ocean's 11 cost.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, if you can't do more than the $50 million that costs,
and
make it better.
And if you can't improve on the story that Ocean's 11 is, which is a perfect film, it's like, should you? You know,
that's fine. So the film's plot is barely needed. It's just from one car chase and explosion to the next. Can you give us a quick rundown on what's going on here?
Oh God. Today? Can I? Is this a good idea?
Can you describe it? Is it any different to any other CIA person's gone rogue plot out there?
Well, yes, in the ending, because the bad guys don't die / get punished.
Sure.
But, okay, so you've got Ryan Gosling. No, love him. Mm-hmm. He's in prison. What's he done wrong? And he's a, well, turns out he killed his dad who used to abuse him and his brothers. Probably fine.
I didn't like that, to be honest.
Why not?
Sorry, jumping in right away. Well, I thought it could have been more interesting if he was a bad guy who's sort of come good. It's like you're in prison, but you're in prison for a good reason. There's no real chance of us thinking he's a bad guy at any point throughout the film.
Were we meant to?
I think it would have been... Well, I think it would have been more morally complex if he was a bad and they've sort of turned him into a weapon. But over time, he's met this little niece of his friend or whatever, and he's sort of turned a bit good. But for the most part,
you're like, he was always good, and he just continued being good.
Yeah, there was no moral complexity to him. Also, it's not, he just does stuff. He just sits there and just
leave him alone.
Like, hi. There's one bit tonight. He's gone through like a whole explosion. He goes through a whole big fight thing, and he's like, oh, okay, and just walks off.
Is that where the plane?
It's been nice if he maybe reacted to it.
Is that one?
Yeah, there's a few times I think where he does it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you care about where you are right now, Ryan?
Ryan's getting paid some of that $200 million. He doesn't care.
I don't know. I just thought they could have made it more interesting and more complex. But you're right.
Good guy. I like Ryan. I've just seen on Wikipedia that it was originally going to have Brad Pitt and Charlize Theron. I'm glad that that's wasn't it. I don't know about that. Anyway, shall Bruce I continue Evans with my recap?
Yeah, please do.
So he's there and he's in jail, and then Billy Bob Thornton comes to see him, and he's like, hey, you want some gum? And Ryan's like, sure. And then Billy Bob Thornton is like, we're going to hire you in the CIA to be an operative for the rest of time. And Ryan's like, okay, cool, no worries. Then he is on a mission and he has to kill a dude, but he hesitates because a kid gets in the way. And then he tries to kill the dude anyway, but turns out the dude that they were getting him to kill actually has some secrets on the top CIA people. And he has this little necklace, and the necklace is a little chip, a little encrypted chip that just opens anytime anyone ever wants to see it. It's really great. It doesn't really have an encryption. And also we put it back in the necklace every single point. So then when we get chased by people and people steal the necklace, stick the chip in your shoe. Stick it in your undies. Stick it anywhere other than the one place that they are looking for it to be. Can't believe I have to do this. You're the CIA. You should know this stuff. Anyway, so then he's like on the run from the CIA because he's like, you guys might be bad. And Chris Evans is a rogue agent who went through the same training program but left because he hated CIA. And he's tasked with tracking him down and killing him and getting the chip. It's essentially it, right? There's other people who exist.
That's pretty much it. And Ana de Armas is sort of in the CIA, but good.
They're being perfect and beautiful as always.
And Jessica Henwick is there in the worst wig ever.
I have trained you well, young Padawan.
Thank you. A waste of both of them, unfortunately.
I love Jessica Henwick. I thought she was great. She didn't really get to do much other than skulk around angrily in her Karen wig, but, you know, she was good.
I mean, there's just probably a sequel coming. She can do more.
Yeah, hopefully.
I didn't mind all that. Like, it's all, you know, you got to get the chip. There's a MacGuffin to make the plot happen. That's fine. I thought it was a bit weak that, like, we're just sort of told what's on the chip from the get-go.
Yes.
And there was no sort of mystery about that at all. It would have been, you know, more interesting, perhaps, if we thought it was something of national importance, like, we need to get that chip back, that USB back, because if we don't, you know, something bad's going to happen, something really, really bad's going to happen. And then it turns out it's just got blackmail stuff about the boss.
That could have been cool.
And then, yeah, it just felt like, oh, you know, here's the plot within the first 10 minutes and just do it. Get it out of the way. It's all right. Lots of places in this film, isn't there? Every 2 seconds we're on a new country.
A lot of places. You're right, Lenny. Lots of places. Lots of places.
Don't mean I'm wrong. I'm not.
Oh, my God. We do go to lots of countries. I had to look up one of the countries. What country was it? Azerbaijan, maybe? Never knew where that was.
Sure.
Interesting. Little, like, geography lesson in the middle of the film. Why not?
There you go.
Okay, so you think that Mission Impossible and Jason Bourne and all these movies did this story better. Can I...
I don't think that. I'm right in that respect.
Okay, sure. Can I... I see that. I see that. But I'm going to raise you trapdoor.
The trapdoor stuff was pretty good, wasn't it?
You don't see enough trapdoors these days. Haven't seen a trapdoor in ages. So much so that I forgot that was a thing. And then when it happened, I was like, oh my God, trapdoor ingenious.
Yeah, it's a good plot by that guy, isn't it? A good scheme he's got going on. I'll definitely help you get away in the country. Psych. Trapdoor.
Trapdoor.
You did.
And the whole time I'm like, this guy's sus. I don't know what he's doing, but I don't like what he's doing. Never thought it would be a trapdoor though. Love it. You love to see it.
No, that was a good bit. It was Jason Bourne like to get out of that, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah, that was good stuff though. So what do you think about, like, often in these films there's a little kid that we all care about, we've got to protect, right? This kid that he's going to protect, he's seen her before and he cares about her, which that's all fine. But it's his boss's niece?
Yeah.
Is there a way we could have made her a bit closer to him in some respect? Or it just felt like a sort of wrinkle in the system. It's like not just his niece or not just, you know, a former, like a friend of a friend or something, or like his best mate's little girl. But his boss's a niece? It just felt like a weird relationship to include.
Here's my thing. She felt old enough that I was confused about whether it was like a crush that she had on him or whether it was like older brother slash father figure. And that's, I didn't get like a full handle on who they were supposed to be to each other because I was like, she's a bit young for you. We're hugging an awful amount. He's very concerned that she's hurt. He's like stroking her face. I don't know.
So it's either like go younger or go older. Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. I feel you. Also, like, I don't want to criticize the great man Billy Bob Thornton, but is he really the age to have a like 12-year-old niece these days?
Maybe he was adopted by his parents. Maybe his parents remarried. Maybe she's a half sister's niece. You don't know his situation.
I don't. He's 67 is all I'm saying.
Okay. You know? Maybe that's a bit old. How old do people stop having nieces? I mean, you have a niece.
I do have a niece.
I have a niece also.
But she's not 12. Yeah.
My point is we'll always have nieces. Doesn't matter how old we get.
I know, but if you're in your 60s and you've got a 12-year-old niece, that means she was born when you were in your 50s, and so that means
maybe she's an IVF baby. Maybe there's 10 years between you and your sibling, and they had some problems conceiving, and so they went to IVF, and then they got a beautiful daughter. And now you're shitting on them. You're shitting on them for their IVF journey, and I can't believe you'd do that on the podcast.
Do you recognize her, though, the girl?
She looked familiar, but I have not looked her up. You're going to blow my mind?
She was a little girl in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood who was acting with Leo and told him it was the best acting she'd ever seen. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. Glad she's still in stuff. She was good.
She was really good. And I think there's something about her performance, but she does seem older than she is, which is, I think, the point of her character. But yeah, you're right. It raises some questions there. Deliberate way, it's just like a little bit murky, but what's going on?
Yeah. I just had that moment where I'm like, how old is she supposed to be? You know?
Yeah, I didn't personally have that, but I think her age, like she was perhaps, like she's one of those really smart kids who seems older than she is, sure. but then you know, sure. deep down she's, you know, I'm getting that.
I feel you.
I feel like this is just another waste of Ana de Armas.
You are so far on the Ana de Armas hype train, is ridiculous. You've passed several stations. You're not stopping, as far as the eye can see.
I've been really bad. I haven't got around to watching her weird erotic thriller with Ben Affleck yet. But I need to.
Yeah. Do we need to watch
we'll
that? I don't know.
We'll do it
too. Okay.
But I just felt like my criticism of the James Bond film she's in was that she's in there for like 10 minutes and nails it and is the best part of that film. And then she's like, oh, see you later. In this film, she's in it, you know, for a large majority of the film. But they just sort of haven't given her any personality, her character, unfortunately. There's glimpses of it, but not quite enough. It's like you gave us so much in that film, but in this one, you just weren't given enough to do. Am I on the right track here?
I mean, I get where you're coming from, but I still loved her. I thought she was great.
Don't get me wrong. No. And it was good, I guess, to see her just to be a no-nonsense, you know, good agent. That was all fine. And the action stuff is always great, but I just wanted more today.
Fair enough. We all want more Ana de Armas. It's fair. It's a fair point.
What do you think of the guy who was like the final assassin who then realized that they were being dodgy and fights her and then is like, you know what? I'm not going to be these people.
Annoyed me. Annoyed me. And I went, why would they be doing that? Tell her that before you try to strangle her. Not after you both try to strangle each other. And then you're like, oh, I guess I'm over this now. See you later. No, that was awful. That was horrible. Yeah, like, we need to give Ana another fight scene so she can learn some choreography. Yeah. And then, oh, it doesn't really fit with how we're going with the narrative. So I guess we just won't have that.
I've seen a few people criticize in the same respect how Ryan Gosling has two mentors that blow themselves up for him.
Mm-hmm.
He's got Alfre Woodard in the apartment. She blows up with the gas.
Yeah.
And then Billy Bob does the same thing with the
grenade.
Grenade.
Yeah.
It's like, could you maybe have thought about it a bit differently? Just get like something, a little bit of light and shade here, something a little bit different.
Fair enough.
You know, whatever. Did you think you like Chris Evans though, being a dickhead?
I do. He just plays a really good dickhead. I don't know why. Yeah. I don't know what like magic he's tapping into. Maybe he's conning us all and he's secretly like this the whole time. But I am so here for it. He seems to be having so much fun. And I think that that results in a really loose, like, fun performance to watch, you know?
It was some of the only dynamic parts of the film was when he is there. Mm-hmm. Thinking about, like, when he gets, he's walking around limping, getting shot in the butt with the tranquilizer.
Yes.
Like, that's something you don't normally see, and that kind of brought some life into the film.
Yeah.
When everything else is kind of stuff you've seen before. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're right. He did bring that. It's a shame that his character won't be in the next film.
Yeah.
He's also his dickhead character in Scott Pilgrim. Do you remember? He plays the movie star in that.
I remember.
Yeah. Same character.
Interesting how he got out of that typecasting to become like the pretty boy hero, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like what casting agent made that happen? I'd love to know.
Yeah, I don't think everyone's coming out of being in the Avengers with the best post-career, but he seems to, he's like, I'm going to be, you're right, the poster boy for 10 years, but then I can do what I want after it. He seems to be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
What did you think of the way, like I sort of saw the way that this was evocative of other films as sort of a way of melding like fantasy and reality? Like, there were some things that were so ridiculous and just unrealistic, like the fact that he's trying so hard to get his handcuff off when he's in the square, and then all of a sudden he just does it and it's fine. And it's like, why couldn't you just do that earlier before all this stuff happened? And, you know, the leaping from planes and beating someone up while you're holding onto their parachute, like, all of that is so ridiculous. But it's so ridiculous that it's kind of fun. And it actually did some really cool things that I haven't seen in action movies, like Trapdoor we mentioned. Want more Trapdoor stuff. things that I always say, like when you're getting out of a car and you're like waiting for the bad guys, he drops down and shoots them in the feet and the ankle so they drop down and then he can kill them. And then the tram bit was pretty cool because he was looking at the reflection of the in the windows of the building that he was going past so that he could see where they were in the tram to shoot them blind. I just thought that stuff was really cool. And I love those little like action things that are a little bit different than what we've seen before. And so I really appreciated that.
It's sort of, I think you definitely on the money there. I think it's almost like double-edged sword having such a huge budget because in some ways it's like you're being bankrolled all this money to do the film. Yeah, but do something different. Like you can, you've got the sort of safety net there of Netflix and whatever. But at the same time, because there's so much money involved,
they don't want to take risks.
Natural too. Yeah, exactly. It's a lot riding on this. Why don't we just do what's already been done and people like and we know it works? So there's a bit of push-pull there. But I'm with you. I think I liked all that stuff. I wish there was more of it.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I wish there was more drone stuff, tell you what.
Okay, what year is it? 2022. When did drones become a thing? Like 10 years ago? Why have directors just suddenly realize that they exist and can be used in film? Between this and Michael Bay, it's just two little boys who've been given a race car for his birthday and we're just all having to sit there and watch him show us his race car. That's what it feels like when they're using drones. It's like, look at this cool drone shot. It's
three little boys, I know.
Look at this cool drone shot. Okay, yeah, well done. You've discovered a drone. Congratulations. Like, what are we...
I think the technology's got better recently, that's why.
It's so weird, though. It's like,
I think it's good.
No, there's big sweeping vistas, like camera shots that have no relevance in that time in the narrative, but you just want to have it because it's a cool shot, and I get it. It's a cool shot. But, like, can we just skip to 5 years where we're using drones on, like, the same basis that we're using regular cameras and have that hybrid, which is what we're moving towards? I'm just not here for this thing of, like, how cool are drones? Yep, they were cool like 10 years ago. I don't know. I
like the drone age.
Maybe I'm a drone hater.
Well, me and my drone buddies, we like them, so. Yeah, so I don't think it's as bad as everyone's saying. At the same time, their criticisms are not without some merit, is my point.
Fair. I did have a couple of, like, qualms with the action being difficult to follow, particularly in those first few fights. And I saw Lon Harris say something about how they cut around the action and completely they do. And I got so confused where everyone was in space. I was so aware of the editing because we had like five cuts in the space of a second. And I was like, oh my God, this is horrible. And plus a lot of the dialogue was so quippy in the beginning that I missed a lot of the conversation, a lot of the dialogue. I just didn't catch it. Well, it was not only too quick.
I agree. And then it doesn't matter really, but still nice to understand what's going on. Not only did they cut around the action, a lot of it, they did it at nighttime or they did it in the like fireworks sort of barge with all the smoke around. It's like, is this because the main actors aren't doing all their own stunts and so you've got to cut around them? You don't trust them enough? Like, yeah, obviously that's a huge part of it.
Yeah.
But I mean, Tom Cruise don't do that, does he?
Listen, I do not want to go down the rabbit hole of holding everyone to the standard of Tom Cruise because I don't want crazy people killing themselves because they think they have to do that for stunts.
Yeah, absolutely.
They don't.
Still.
I don't have this fetishization of, oh, he broke his foot and he kept going. How cool's that? It's not. You're being a dick. You're being a macho dick. Stop. Go to the hospital. Get your foot looked at. It's a movie. It's not that important. It can wait.
He went to the hospital after he did this. It's finished the shut off. It's all good.
Mm-hmm.
We'll agree or disagree.
Mm-hmm. I'm disagreeing. I'm doing my part.
Can't we just get on our own franchise of some sort? You know, that's all I'm saying.
I feel like she's
She can be like...
Yeah, she's been around enough now and she's done a few of these roles where she's sort of, you know, played the supporting character that I reckon next she can start moving into some more like main stuff. Because she's wonderful.
We'll get her Oscar for Blonde, so that's going to be good. A quick question, though, before we wrap up. How did he escape custody? Was he locked up, like, pretty high security at the end? Ryan Gosling?
Oh, yeah. And also, aren't they all, like, his mates that he kills to rescue her?
And also, as someone online pointed out, I think we got a pitch meeting, he tracked her because she's got a pacemaker in her heart. Mm-hmm. Can we just do it again?
Yeah. Couldn't anyone ever do that? Yeah. Yep, they could.
Yeah. Maybe he can take it out or something.
Maybe she gets a heart transplant. Maybe that's like what happens.
Maybe Arno can actually do the heart surgery.
Just finding ways that she can be written into a bigger role.
One last thing. It was kind of interesting that the whole film is about how bad the CIA is. And at the end, they're like, you know what? We decided you're not going to get in trouble for this.
I know.
You were bad, but still.
They don't get punished at all. No justice ever gets done. I guess it makes more sense thinking of it as a franchise, part of a franchise, why that doesn't happen. But as a film itself, it was very unsatisfying.
Like, oh, yeah, I know what you mean. But we'll come back in 2 years' time, I guess, in 2 or 3 years' time.
I guess so. Would you watch another one of these, even with your complaints?
You're going to laugh at me, but if it's Ryan and Arno again, I probably would. If it's just Ryan, probably will again.
What if it's like Ryan and like Phoebe Waller-Bridge? Or Ryan and, I don't know, who's that Stranger Things actress who, Sadie Sink, is that her?
Oh yeah, she's up and coming, isn't she? What about Lily Collins, maybe? I think it could be fun.
I don't understand how we've gone, like, most of this season without nary a hint at a reference. And now it's like 3 episodes in a row.
Good stuff, isn't it?
I think you forget. I think that's what happens. I think you forget that it's a thing. Yes, see, I know. You forget it's a thing. And then you get reminded and then you're like, oh, now I've got to do it now. And then it's like when you say to your dentist, I promise I'll floss. And you floss really well for like the first 3 days after you see the dentist and then you stop. And then when you have your next dentist appointment, you're like, oh, crap, he's going to know I haven't been flossing. And so you floss like the 3 days in the lead up to the appointment.
And he can tell.
He can tell. I know he can tell. Yeah. I don't know who I'm kidding. I just wanted to know that I've made an effort for you, Malcolm.
No.
Do you think Malcolm listens to the podcast?
I knew it was annoying you, and so I stopped doing it. And now I just throw it in every now and then, just a little bit for the fans, you know?
So I never feel safe. So I feel like it could be coming at any moment. Great. This is a definitely better solution. Thanks, Long.
No, good stuff. Okay, rating time.
3.5? 3.5 for you, really? I thought yours would be much lower.
3? I don't know.
I'll give it something. a 3.5. It was fun. Okay. It was a good time. Dad, you really like this movie.
Yes.
Dad movie.
Last week for the moms, this week for the dads.
That's it.
Good stuff.
We need one for the kids soon. We haven't watched a kids film in a while.
We tried to watch Lightyear. Who's that for?
Unclear.
All right, then. Thanks for listening. We've got a back catalogue. We've got Twitter, haven't we, Sinead?
We do. We're at I Only Like You Pod. Wonder what the teaser will be for this podcast. Something fun, probably. Is that good? Is that like whetting their appetite? Am I doing it? Am I dropping the crumb? Is this how you do promo?
Could be.
Okay. Cool.
All right. Well, thank you for listening. We'll be back very, very soon. Until then, see ya.
Bye.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.